And we're about to check in again with our digital and social media producer, Rachel Rohr, who's been on the road for the past month ahead of the midterm elections, speaking to young Americans across the country, finding out where they stand on politics, but all sorts of other fascinating things as well. Rachel, last time we talked, you were in the capital of the Navajo Nation, Window Rock, Arizona. Where are you now?
Today, I'm in Milford, Pennsylvania. We're actually expecting to be back in Boston sometime tomorrow.
Well, we'll be glad to see you, but sorry to see this wrap up. It's been so much fun. Where have you been since we last checked with you?
Well, after the Navajo Nation, we drove north to Utah, where we spent time in two different cities. Provo, home to Brigham Young University, which is owned and operated by the Mormon Church, and Salt Lake City, Utah's capital. BYU has a strict honor code that includes not drinking coffee, tea, or alcohol. So it was interesting to be in a college town with almost no bars or coffee shops. The honor code also bans male students from having beards. And I met a 23-year-old BYU student from California named Shane Pitson, who's leading an effort to overturn that rule. He recently organized a demonstration called Bike for Beards.
The student body feels pretty similar. Like, oh yeah, like, might be a little bit of an outdated rule, but there are a couple. There was one kid that, like, ripped up my flyers, like, in my face, and then, like, threw them in the trash and was like, if you don't like the rules here, like, then you can leave. There's other people that would want to go here and obey the rules. And I was like, I obey the rules. I just think this should change.
Beards are not against the Mormon faith, so why can't they have them at BYU?
Well, the rule dates back to the late 60s when facial hair was a sign of the counterculture movement and rebellion. Shane's making the argument that beards don't have the same connotation now, and there's a practical reason to get rid of the rule, too. Shane told me it's particularly hard on students who get a prominent 5 o'clock shadow. He had a roommate who had to shave twice in one day in order to not be turned away from the testing center.
Well, that is harsh. But, you know, this is the point. This is important to him. But other things are on the minds of young Mormons. What did you hear?
I met a 31-year-old BYU law student named Morgan Brungard, who told me one of the biggest issues within the Mormon church right now is same-sex relationships and marriage. The church stance is that it does not condemn people who are attracted to people of the same sex, but it does prohibit acting on that attraction. So it's against same-sex relationships and marriages. Morgan explained that from her perspective, it's hard to tell someone not to have a family when that's the main focus of the religion.
In a church where we believe the mother-father responsibility as well as spouse is one of the most important and sacred that there is, and also where true happiness comes from, how to say to somebody, yes, but you can't have that.
Morgan does want same-sex marriage to be legal so couples can have the same legal benefits, but within the church, she's not sure if same-sex relationships should be allowed. She did say, though, that she supports her gay friends in whatever they decide, even if they decide to leave the church to have a family.
That's Here and Now's Rachel Rohr. She's been traveling the country talking to millennials. We just heard a young Mormon in Utah talking about same-sex marriage. You're listening to Here and Now. Well, and Rachel, we know the Mormon Church heavily funded the fight to ban same-sex marriage in California. But you were in Salt Lake right when same-sex marriage became legal in Utah. As we know, the Supreme Court last week decided not to hear 5 states' same-sex marriage challenges, and that cleared the way for same-sex marriage in those states. Utah was one of them. Church officials said when this all happened, as far as the civil law is concerned, the courts have spoken, but a top leader told a Mormon conference that legalizing same-sex marriage is among the world values threatening Mormon beliefs. So a lot was going on right when you were there.
Yes, it was actually right after I talked with Morgan that I heard the news. And coincidentally, I already had an interview lined up in Salt Lake City with a 31-year-old transgender activist named Owen Smith. He's hoping there will be more focus on transgender issues in Utah now that same-sex marriage is legal.
It's really warm and fuzzy to talk about love and relationships, and people get to watch romantic comedies and all those things. So it's more fun to talk about than the trans woman of color who was murdered, right? It's not as fun. It's not as heartwarming. It hurts to talk about those things. It hurts to see that side of humanity. So I think that a lot of emphasis is put on marriage because it's just easier to talk about.
Owen told me that there have been 25 acts of violence against transgender people in Salt Lake City so far this year. And transgender people of color are most at risk. Owen put me in touch with 20-year-old Gabriel Glissmeyer. He's a black transgender college student and activist who was adopted and raised by a white Mormon family in Utah. I asked Gabe what the biggest issue is that he's working to combat.
The biggest thing that I'm combating every day is just staying alive at this point. It's terrible having to leave my house and just being like, oh, like, I don't, like, this could be, like, the last time I'm, like, oh, like, I see my family, and this is, like, the last time I could see my friends. And so just leaving my house is, like, terrifying for me at this point, but I still do it because I'm like, oh, there's so much, like, work I need to do, and there's so many lives I need to change and people who need to hear me.
Gabe told me that he fears for his life every day, not because he's perceived as transgender, but because he's perceived as a Black male. He wants what he calls real-world issues like police brutality, gun violence, and domestic violence to be part of the LGBT conversation.
Well, so we started with the campaign to get the right to wear a beard, and, you know, we've gone quite deep into other issues that you found in Utah. Now, part of your project has focused on whether young people want to stay or go from the place they grew up in. What did Gabe tell you?
Well, he does not want to stay in Utah. He's actually in the process of transferring from the University of Utah to the University of Minnesota. He had an internship in Minneapolis over the summer and really connected with a group of young transgender people of color there. So part of it is he loves Minneapolis, and the other part is he's never felt at home in Utah. In fact, he introduced himself to me as being from Cleveland, even though he was adopted and brought to Utah at 3 months old.
Here and now is Rachel Rohr, driving cross-country, talking to young Americans, and on her way home. So look for all her pictures and interviews at our Tumblr. We'll link you up at hereandnow.org. Rachel, thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin.